If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
A little breezy out today at Augusta, but the sun's out. Hasn't made the course any easier. Some players are struggling, but there you go. You look at the leaderboard and guess who's at the top. Scottie Scheffler, although he just had a little challenge he's dealing with right now. But Scheffler, the leader right now, 7-under. Bryson DeChambeau at 6-under. Max Homa as well at 6-under. So the Masters is one of the great sporting events of the year. Even those of you who aren't avid golf fans, don't follow it all year, you're probably tuning into the Masters because it's such a spectacle. I love it. It's great. There's something special about it that separates it from all other golf tournaments, and it's going to be a special weekend. We look forward to watching it. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. Let's go to Augusta right now. Brian Taylor's there. He's the cut at 4 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You can hear him on Real Golf Radio, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturdays right here on the KSL Sports Zone. He is Brian Taylor. Brian, how's Augusta today?
It's the caddy that joins us. He said he's dubbing it the Gust. It is absolutely. You see what he did there. Yeah, it's a good
nice, nice.
For him. But it's unbelievable. This win. You know, we've been coming for a long time, and Scottie Scheffler said he's played in a windy round out here that he remembers. And I was trying. And he's only played in what, 4 or 5 of them. So it's obviously been in recent memory. But I cannot remember sustained wins like this. I mean, you get the occasional wins in the afternoon that come up and things like that, but this has been unreal. I mean, just to give you an example, I mean, if you're watching the coverage, the sand is blowing out of the greens on 18 up on, you know, out of the bunker up Jeez. Onto the greens. Max Homa was playing with Tiger Woods, and he talked about how they got sandblasted for about 45 seconds while they were waiting to putt, and he had to turn his head so he didn't get sand in his eyes and things like that. I mean, stuff you never see around here. It's unreal.
That's Laramie Wynn, not Augusta. That's crazy.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
let's get into the leaderboard. Obviously, we talked about earlier in the week. It's, you know, I asked you, I joked around with you. I says, who do you think is going to win, and why is it Scottie Scheffler? Well, here we are, round number 2 through 11. It's Scottie at the top of the board.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what you hope for if you're coming to watch a tournament. You know, the best players in the world doing what they do, and that's what he's doing right now. He's taking care of business. And, you know, Bryson went out there and put up some nice numbers and kind of you wonder if he was going to go out and put the pressure on. And he struggled with a couple bogeys coming down the stretch. But, you know, Scottie's just, you know, he's not without his struggles. You know, he had a bogey on 5, which a lot of players did today, bogeyed 7. And, you know, but again, bounce back birdies at 8, bounce back birdie at 10, it's a heck of a birdie on 10. I mean, what you have to understand is the wind blowing the way it does, as you descend down 10 into Amen Corner, you're dropping, feels like 150 feet or something. And so you get down in there where you're a little bit blocked out by the pines, and so you can't necessarily feel the wind. So now it brings another element into these guys where they actually try to flight the shot below the tips of the pines so that they can try to control the wind as it is what they're feeling instead of getting it up above the trees and subjecting it to the wind that's obviously up there but is kind of blocked out given that they've dropped down into the little hollow area there. So, I mean, to see and have these guys understand to be able to flight their ball, and Scottie's obviously doing the best of it currently leading, but it's unreal. It's been a real ball striking, you know, kind of course management type of tournament so far. So I guess it'd be equivalent to those of you that like a defensive battle, you know, in football. It's been a lot more than that, than an offensive showcase.
An interesting side story about Scottie Scheffler is his wife is close to going into labor Brian, is it possible he could leave the Masters in the middle of Masters to leave and go to his wife? While she, I mean, this is crazy that this is a situation that exists right now during Masters weekend.
Yeah, it happens. And he did say that he would leave on a moment's notice. He's not going to miss the birth of his first child. But he said, look, she's still a month out. And he said that there hasn't been any of those signs, that she might be getting to that point. So he feels pretty confident. But, he also acknowledged that pregnancies, they happen when they're going to happen. And so if it does, he said, she knows how to get a hold of me and I'll be there. So it's kind of reminiscent of Phil Mickelson in 1999 in Pinehurst when he was playing the U.S. Open with Payne Stewart, and he wore a pager, if you remember back, the technology of the 90s. And Amy was about to give birth to their first child, and he was ready to leave. He wore that the whole way around and ended up finishing runner-up to Payne. But it's an interesting thing. And at that point, Phil was trying to get his first major championship, and in this case Scotty's already got a Masters, so it's probably a little easier for him to pick up and go if he needed to. But man, he is definitely playing some really, really good golf. I'm sure he'd hate to not be able to finish the job that he's got going right now.
Brian, when we talk about side stories, one of the craziest things that emerged on Friday was the image of Bryson DeChambeau carrying a sign that's a concession sign, Southgate sign. What was going on with all that?
Actually, I was just talking to your producer, and he was telling me a little bit about what happened there. I saw the image, and I hadn't read the story. We've been in grind mode, putting together the show and everything, and I'm like, what in the heck is Bryson doing with that sign, like Paul Bunyan with a big axe over his shoulder, right? I mean, that's like, could you ask for a more appropriate thing for Bryson to just kind of pick up a sign and move it? I initially thought, given the wind, that maybe it had blown down, and he'd picked it up to try to move it out of the way, but apparently it was in his line of flight, and he just said, I'll take care of it. Look, signs are temporary and movable objects, so certainly it can be moved, or he could take a drop away from it, but apparently he must have liked where he was, and he just decided to take it into his own hands and pick that thing up and moved it, which is that's classic Bryson. I mean, he is entertaining, I'll give you that.
He is entertaining. Another story about him is he's using 3D printed irons that were only approved by the USGA on Monday. Can you give us you know better than anybody, like what is he really like? He's an odd dude.
He's odd. He's for sure odd. I mean, when he came out, he just decided to turn everything upside down and reinvent golf, played Bryson's way. And, he's got – his irons are all one length. We hadn't really ever seen that before. So his pitching wedge is the same length as his four iron, for instance. And, that's unusual. Typically, your longer irons are longer, hence the name, and then your shorter irons, like your wedges and things like that. So it's a – I shouldn't say four iron. I think actually everything was the length of a six iron. Nevertheless, it was a unique kind of style. He tried different things where he pumped himself up. He'd spent about a year or so and he gained, 30, 40 pounds of muscle and got all huge and decided that the answer was all in distance and he could overpower the game of golf. And that lasted for a little while and he decided to back that off. And I mean, he was eating an obscene amount of calories during that whole time and working out like crazy. And he did go on to win the U.S. Open at Wingfoot during that time, which was remarkable. And so he's done some things. He's had some success. I think a lot of people would suggest maybe he's a little too smart for his own good in some of these cases. But this particular one is really unique. When you talk about changing equipment, that's a very personal thing, especially at that level. Guys need to be able to fully trust what they're doing. They need to have total confidence. And they need to have some, usually some data to suggest how clubs work. Because even when they're built to your specs, there's oftentimes some tweaks that, especially at that level, that guys will make. So for him to barely get those things in play, get them approved and get out there and play them this week is pretty unreal. And he's also incorporating some technology. You've probably heard bulge that's been mentioned. Well, bulge is kind of like the roundedness of a club from heel to toe. And then the roll is from top to bottom, if you will. And that's usually seen on fairway woods or drivers and things like that. It goes all the way back to the wooden clubs and it kind of creates a gear effect. So if you miss one out on the right side of the club, it brings it back left. If you hit it on the left side of the clubs, it brings it back right. It's a way to sort of counterbalance or counter-correct a missed shot. And he's incorporated that into irons, which to my knowledge, has never been done before. So it's pretty fascinating stuff that we call him the mad scientist out here a little bit, and he's got something cooking right now.
Tiger Woods made the cut and with an even par round today. How impressive is it to think that Tiger reaching his 24th consecutive cut, and who could be the potential pairings with him on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm not sure on the pairings just yet, but it's awesome. It's another record for Tiger Woods. And especially given his physical limitations, it's a real testament to his fortitude, to his, willpower, and to the way he's taking care of his body that right now is broken in so many ways. And yet he's, doing what he needs to do in order to be able to play through it, given the cards he's been dealt. So in his answer to the question of about getting the record, what does it mean? He said, it means I'm here. It means I'm around for the weekend. It means I've got a shot. So he blew it off. But earlier in the week when asked about it, he did say it speaks to longevity and it speaks to his high level play over time and things like that. So he does have an appreciation for it, but it really, by his answers, felt like he's still in the middle of this tournament. He's still in his mindset as a champion. That, until the final horn sounds and he didn't win, he's still trying to win. And I'm sure you can appreciate that and understand that a little bit as well. And so that's where he's at. He says, look, I'm only 8 back at the moment, and I think everything's going to stay bunched. And so we're just going to do what we can do to get some rest, get some food, and be ready to go to work tomorrow.
Tony Finau, 3 over through 16 today, 2 over for the tournament. And he's certainly not out of it at this point, but Tony's going to have to has a lot of work to do to get back in this. What's been some of his struggles?
I watched him today, and he did struggle a little bit. He had an unfortunate 3-putt. He missed a couple of shots where he just got loose. The double bogey on 4, he just missed it to the green to the right, dumped it in the bunker, and then didn't get it up and down. Really uncharacteristic. I'm not really sure. I know, again, the wind is really, really, really tough, and that hole's gotten a lot of people today, but it just felt like from the position he left it in, he might have been able to find a way to get that thing up and down. But that was unfortunate. He made double comeback with a nice birdie at 7. Great putt, actually. Hit it in there behind the hole, just on the fringe, probably made about a 12-footer down the hill. It was really, really nice. Came back, gave it back at 8, which is, again, surprising, especially as good as he tends to play the par fives around here. So he had a little 8-footer for eagle in round 1 and had to scramble for a bogey in round 2 on that hole. And then, look, the back 9, I mean, I know 10's not officially part of Amen Corner, but it's on the doorstep. And 10, 11, 12 got him. He's had 2 bounce-back birdies on 13 and 15, so you got to take care of the par fives, and he's done that. We'll see how he can grind into the house here. But, look. He's still in it. The furthest shots that people have come back is the down 8. And I know it's sitting at plus 2 right now. He's a little bit more than that. But we'll see what Scotty does before he gets in the house. And maybe Tony can pick one more back up.
Yeah, we just watched Tony live on the broadcast miss a birdie opportunity. But he's not the only big-name golfer that's struggling. Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele also over par. What do you notice about those players? The same thing, right? What's holding them back right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think most of these guys, if they're just not quite sharp, they're getting exposed. And that's what the high winds will do, especially on a razor, when the edge is razor thin out here like it is at Augusta. We mentioned early in the week that this golf course was firm. And that's really good unless you get these kind of conditions. And it just makes it that much harder, the margin of error that much smaller. And so, guys like McIlroy, Schauffele, I mean, and they're not completely out of it. Again, I don't want to write them completely off here. McIlroy's at plus 3. He's tied for 34th currently, 33rd. He sees moving up. The board's changing all the time. Schauffele's tied 23rd there at plus 1. So I do think that there's still a lot to be said here. And watch for a little breath of fresh air as these guys come out tomorrow. The winds will be up a little bit, but down significantly from today. And then Sunday's supposed to be pretty calm, especially in the morning. So you can see some guys get on a roll and go post some numbers when they finally have some breathing room without all this blustery wind that they've had to battle over the last 2 days.
Well, that'll set up for a nice Sunday. One last one for you, Brian. Any surprises? Is there somebody who's lurking there in the mix you didn't see that could stick around and make a push with the big names?
Hoegaard is playing for the first time. So for his first round at Augusta, his first 2 rounds, to go 67, 73 in these kind of conditions, and he's currently sitting there fourth. I think that's pretty admirable. Colin Morikawa is a guy that should be talked about a lot more and has top tens, I think, in three of the last five. He's sitting there tied for fifth. 71-70, and this is the thing, I think we talked about this before. There's of all the records for the low rounds, there's only a couple of players that have had any of those low round records that have actually gone on to win. Most of them don't necessarily win the championship. It's not one of these home run kind of parks. It just requires a whole lot of good, you know, good play over 4 days. And so you look at a guy like Morikawa, 71-70, you know, not anything to write home. There's no 65, there's no 66 in there, but, you know, he's there just at 300 par and just a few shots back. So I like a guy that's got that consistency as opposed to, like, you know, Bryson that went 65-73 today. I'm much more comfortable looking at a guy like Morikawa, who's already a two-time major winner, sitting there with 71-70. He actually got one shot better in today's tougher conditions. So, you know, that might be a guy that you keep an eye on. We've talked a lot about Aubert. That guy is also playing in his, not only his first Masters, but his first major championship. And he is set to be kind of everyone's expecting him to be the next superstar. And there he is inside the top 10 and under par at 200. So, yeah, I mean, those are some of the guys that probably stand out right now just by a quick glance.
Brian, you've been awesome this week. We appreciate having you, and your analysis is just amazing. No one does it better than you and Bob. Real Golf Radio tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m., before everyone tunes in to watch the third round. What do you guys have from 8 to 10 right here on the KSL Sports Zone tomorrow?
Yeah, we're just getting ready to go, full tilt on this thing as it wraps up. And you'll hear from Tony Finau as we've had a chance to catch up with him. Max Homa, what a great interview. Some terrific insights. That guy's mental game and everything he's been through to get to this point right now and the way he's handled it is awesome. Scotty Scheffler also with some great comments and great interviews. So we'll be hearing from some of those players. And, of course, the caddy will join us. Everybody loves him. And we'll just be leaning on Bob and the Casper knowledge to break down this tournament and get ready for the weekend at the Masters. It's going to be exciting.
That's going to be outstanding. Real Golf Radio, 8 to 10 a.m. Listen to it on Saturday morning on the KSL Sports Zone before you watch the third and final rounds. Brian, enjoy the weekend. We're all jealous that you get to enjoy Augusta. It should be a fantastic end to this wild Masters so far. Unpredictable. Who knows how this is going to end, but it should be interesting.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, for sure. And, guys, we appreciate you having us on the show, lending your audience, and be able to talk a little golf with you guys on occasion. It's always fun. We appreciate it and hope you all enjoy it.
You're the best, Brian. Thanks. Brian Taylor, live from the Masters. That's a breakdown right there. That's great
info. Next level.
If you're watching the Masters here, that was great analysis on a lot of different guys and what's going on there. The wind, obviously, you can imagine we've all tried to do anything in the wind, but let alone how do you golf in the wind like that when you have gusts like that? Seriously, I'm watching the Masters. It looks like Laramie out there right now. That's a strong breeze at Augusta that's wreaking havoc, but those guys are pros, and they're going to manage it, and by the time we get to Sunday, it should be nice and beautiful.
Yeah, clearly it impacted the scoring, too. For many players, well over par today for their scoring, and so that wind is having an impact. And, you know, for someone like Brian, who's been around Augusta year after year, to just almost be floored by a particular condition, like that just doesn't happen down in Augusta because they are known for their pristine, perfect conditions at this event. So it's definitely having an impact, that's for sure.
Well, just to your point and to his point about the wind, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now, and the top five are one over DeChambeau. Max Homa's one under. Scheffler's even. Hoggard is one over. Cam Davis is even.
Mm-hmm.
So your top guys on the board right now are struggling in that wind to get birdies. They're just not – the opportunities are not there. In fact, I'll look here. The best score of the day so far is a 3-under by Ludvig Åberg. He went 69 in that round. 3-under is the best score of the day in round two so far. A few guys still out there, obviously. In fact, a lot of guys still out there, including Tony Finau, who's finishing up his round. But not easy out there on the course today.
Kind of like U.S. Open type scoring a little bit. It's where it's just such a grind and difficult, and that's kind of what it's feeling like as the Masters continue to roll on in round two.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've got more on the NHL to Utah situation, some developments there, an update for you, and some confirmations of some reports. And you'll also hear from the players and what they're dealing with. They finally speak out on this situation, players that could be playing for you, in front of you, starting this fall. So we'll have a NHL to Utah update next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone.
Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union and Beehive Meals. We continue to follow the situation with the NHL, the Arizona Coyotes, and the possible relocation of that franchise to Utah. And here's our update for you, and it comes from a radio voice at the our sister station in Arizona, at Arizona Sports, 98.7. It's John Gambadoro, who broke the news a week ago that Morello was shopping the team, both inside and out, to buyers, and one of them is Ryan Smith. He says, I posted this on Twitter today, he says, quote, I continue to hear April 18th as the day Gary Bettman will make the announcement on the Coyotes being sold to Ryan Smith and the team moving to Salt Lake City. All indications are this is the only option, and all the wheels are in motion for the purchase and transfer of assets. That is in less than 6 days. We shoot, we score. The NHL is coming to Utah. Awesome. Every day, there's just no sign of this train stopping. It's on its way to Salt Lake City, and it's going to bring with them a lot of players, coaches, GM. I mean, it changes everything. It changes the landscape here in Utah. We were talking about in a break once. How does this impact all the other sports teams, both pro and college here? I mean, there's a ripple effect here that's going to be enormous, but ultimately all we really care about is the fact that we're going to have the highest level of hockey in the world in Utah for the foreseeable future, thanks to Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith and Smith Entertainment Group that are going to bring this franchise here. The opportunity was there, and Ryan and his group were ready. And here we go. Again, Mitch, here's news that just continues to confirm that this story is pointing to Salt Lake City, and everything is in motion that this purchase and transfer could be announced as early as Thursday.
Well, and yeah, I think it's been noteworthy too that throughout this week, that despite all the leaks and the reports, that the momentum's still growing. You know, typically when you get leaks and reports coming out, you go, "Oh, is it going to create this uncertainty about it actually happening?" No, it's only in enhancing the story. It almost feels like enhancing the timeline to get things moving forward to the point where, you know, even the Coyotes coach Andre Tourney is wanting more information about the sale, because he's having the task of going to the media and being asked these questions like, I don't know everything right now. I'm trying to piece together the information as well. But it seems like despite the reports and the leaks, more momentum continues to grow, more confirmations and more reports. And just it feels like it really is going to be going down April 18th, which is next Thursday. And we're going to have an NHL team. And that's just so surreal to think that this market, which I've never thought, you know, there was a couple of years ago where there were people that said that, you know, there could be a chance that there could be, you know, in this building that have pro sports again coming to the market. I'm thinking, not a chance. That's not happening. Like, no one besides the Jazz and RSL is going to be in this market. Like, that's it. That's okay. But man, this is so real, in the vision that Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith have had. Has clearly just made such an impression to where the NHL is almost like, we got to move forward. We got to get in Salt Lake now and make this happen and give the Coyotes a future that feels like they haven't had in the quarter century that they've been in Arizona.
No, it's been bad there, and people there are fed up with it. And now there's going to be a change. Like, that franchise is going to be sold. It's going to feel like it's going to feel brand new here. And
yes,
hopefully for the players and coaches that come and the general manager, it's going to feel new for them as well. A fresh start, everything fresh, new branding, new owner, new town, everything new. Because what they're going through right now is awful. Right now as we speak, and here's another developing story, players are meeting with the GM, Bill Armstrong, right now, 3 hours before they hit the ice to take on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. 3 hours before the game, they're having a player meeting right now. Now, players were asked at the morning skate today about the situation. We're going to start with Lawson Crouse. Here's what he said about everything that's going on with this situation.
We saw it everywhere, just like everyone, but, you know, we don't know anything more than what everyone else is seeing. So, you know, we're just worried about tonight, controlling what we can control, and that's all we can think about.
Information is everything. How important is it to hear from your general manager today?
Yeah, it's going to be important, obviously. You know, who knows what he's going to say, but it'll be an important talk for sure.
Do you anticipate a lot of questions from the group?
I mean, I think at this time, you know, that meeting's coming so close to the game, and we have a job to do as players, so I'm sure there will be some follow-up questions a little later on, but like I said, tonight we got our mindset on Edmonton and what we have to do to win.
You know, hockey players are pretty good mentally. They're good at blocking things out and
playing the game,
all those things. This is a big one to come at 4 p.m. or something. How difficult a chore will it be to keep this out of your brain when they're dropping a puck 3 hours later?
Obviously, like I said, Vancouver was a good test of that, and you just got to approach it the same way. We have a job to do on the ice, and that's what we're focused about.
That's Lawson Crouse of the Arizona Coyotes. He's pretty focused on the game tonight, but you can tell the tone of the voice. It's like it just sucks that they're trying to do their job, but they're gonna have to deal with this. And he's a guy that, he might have to sell his house and move somewhere else. I mean, that's reality. These guys are human beings. I know they're players and they get paid well, but they're human beings and they're dealing with this. It's tough.
Yeah, change is so difficult. I mean, I'm seeing it firsthand on the front line with BYU basketball right now. It's always difficult for whatever avenue. But when you talk about changing markets and a whole, like, you know, tons of people, their lives being altered, and then they're relationships and those people that are involved in those individuals' lives. I mean, there's so many people involved that want answers, and hopefully that meeting today with the general manager that's happening right now can bring that clarity and kind of give them a vision. But it also feels like, why are you doing that before a game? Like, why not after? Maybe when you get back, maybe there's the time can't wait. Maybe you got to get it done now, and that's that 4 p.m. spot was the only time to get it done. But it just kind of feels like, once again, the Coyotes – executive office going, really, right now? Like, it's a couple hours before the puck is dropping. So,
Mitch, my question is, why now? Why are they waiting until now? There should have been communication previous to this.
Well,
you just tell your players to say it, and then they can go to the media and say, we don't have any comment on that. We're trying to focus on hockey. We'll deal with that when the season ends. That's easy, right? I just answered. You tell them last week. You tell them a month ago. You don't do it now, 3 hours before the game. And look, the players and coaches, they're pissed that they have to hear this from people like us. Obviously, we're in Salt Lake, but there's people in Arizona. John Gambadoro's going on the radio. He's been there for 27 years, and he says the Coyotes are going to move. they know that it's out there. Like, it's got to be maddening for them. And it just shows you how inept the ownership is in that organization, that they haven't been communicating with the people that really matter, which is the players that go out there and play for you each and every day.
And it's the head coach that admitted earlier this week that they basically had a 14-game skid because of the uncertainty the first time in January. So
they were trending towards the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then all this stuff comes down. It's like everything went in the crapper. Yeah.
So it's clearly affected the on-ice product for this Coyotes team that has a young, bright future, and that's what should make, you know, this Salt Lake market excited about the potential of this franchise, that depending on what, you know, power brokers are in place to lead this franchise going into the future next year, you know, this is a group that could maybe make a run and go into the playoffs and just be competitive in year one here in Salt Lake and give a product that is not only entertaining and being the highest level of hockey, but one that could be, you know, a winner that's in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's been a tough year all around for the Coyotes, and just only adds to it when you're now facing real life issues beyond the sport they play when they're having those conversations with the general manager hours before what's always a critical game. And I think these games even take on greater significance for these players because you're just not guaranteed anything now. The fans aren't guaranteed another chance to watch the Coyotes for those Phoenix fans out there. These players, they don't know what their future holds. So these games are just so precious for them to put the best foot forward for themselves, and they got to worry about this 3 hours before the puck drops.
Let's hear from one more player. This is Clayton Keller on the situation.
Gordon, is it that you'll hear from your general manager today?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've just tried to focus on, you know, hockey, and, you know, since I've played in Arizona, there's always been a lot of rumors and stuff like that. So I think, you know, we've tried to do as best we can to, you know, just focus on hockey. Throughout this whole time, there hasn't been a ton of discussion on what's going on, I guess. We've just kind of taken it day by day. We've, you know, heard different things here and there, and, you know, none of them are really true. So we just kind of learned from that and, like I said, just take it day by day.
You've been through this in Arizona a few times. Maybe not exactly this, but a version of this during your career. You must have this pop up.
Yeah, definitely. And like I've said, I think, you know, myself, you know, tried to, you know, help the other guys and the guys that have been here a while, whether it's different owners or, you know, moving from Glendale to Tempe or things like that. So, yeah, I think you just tried to, you know, focus on the hockey, and, you know, I still have an amazing job and love what I do.
I mean, not even the head coach is getting all the information that he would like. He's demanding info about the Utah sale and the relocation rumors. Andre Tourigny, who's been speaking up, who's been vocal, he is under contract, which I think is one of the reasons why he feels comfortable doing that. But you can tell the frustration here. These guys are trying to play hockey and trying to finish out this season, and you know they have their career and their job on the line, whether it's with the Coyotes or with this new organization that's going to be here in Utah or somewhere else. They're trying to focus on their jobs and they have to talk about this stuff. The owner should have taken that upon themselves and said, this is where we're at. Instead of putting all this stuff out on social media that we're working on the arena. We're doing everything we can to stay. And you know, we've been through tough times, and like, it really makes you appreciate when you have great ownership, and it's not as common as we would like to think. And having to watch this situation from here, watching how this has been handled in Arizona, really gives me that perspective that, you know what? No owner's perfect, but you don't have to deal with this kind of crap from Ryan Smith with the Jazz.
You think about the Jazz organization, yeah, you maybe haven't won a title yet, but the stability of the franchise, yeah, and the ownership, and
this would never happen here.
I can't even picture that at all. And it was noteworthy in that Clayton Keller clip. He said he's been dealing with these rumors since he's been in Arizona. He's been in Arizona since 2016.
Wow.
He was the number 7 overall pick for the Coyotes in that 2016 draft. So for 7 years, I mean, this has been a franchise that for basically since they began, and they've had just the speculations and the concerns about where will their games play. They go to Glendale. They were in Phoenix at the beginning at America West when, you know, the Suns' current arena. I mean, they've just always been this group that's just never had any stability, and it's just continued. And for a guy like Clayton Keller, who's been kind of a key guy for that franchise, 7 years, he's heard these rumors. I thought that was pretty noteworthy, and I'm sure he's getting to the point that he'd love some just get final announcement. Just make it final and let's move forward so you can move on to the next thing.
How refreshing will it be for these players to come here to this market where they're going to be embraced and going to receive attention they've never received in Arizona?
And huge crowds. I mean, massive.
Sold out crowds, 13,000 plus initially. It's going to get bigger than that once they whatever they're going to do with the arena over here, which we know they're doing something. We don't know what the seating is going to be and all that. We don't know those details, but we know it's going to be big. Okay, there's stability on the way here for these guys who have had to struggle and suffer through this whole situation, and their front office and their coaches as well. So, again, John Gambadoro of Arizona Sports shared again today, who had the reports dead on last week that the Coyotes were for sale. He says, quote, I continue to hear April 18th as the day Gary Bettman will make the announcement on the Coyotes being sold to Ryan Smith and the team moving to Salt Lake City. All indications are this is the only option, and all the wheels are in motion for the purchase and transfer of assets. The NHL to Utah train is headed here to Salt Lake City, and we cannot wait. We've got to take a break here on JJ and Alex. Up next, the Utah football spring update. The spring game is Saturday. The 22 Forever game will give you our thoughts on what we want to see in that game. Coming up next, JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.com.
And now your Ute spring football update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's a perfect weekend for some spring football. If you're a Utah football fan, the 22 Forever game is taking place tomorrow, 11 a.m., Rice-Eccles Stadium. Spring football wrapping up for the Utes. I would say overall a successful spring for Kyle Whittingham and his crew. One serious injury is all. It's a big one. Lavonnie DeMooney, who was an outstanding linebacker for the team last year after transferring from Stanford, a hometown hero from Cache Valley, has got a leg injury, probably won't play this year, which is a bummer, but they do have some depth at that position. They'll be fine there. But your chance to see the team tomorrow for the last time until we see him in the fall, which is, he'll be here before we know it. A couple things real quick, Mitch. What do you want to see from Utah's spring game tomorrow? I mean, it's just, we know who the guys are. It's kind of weird with that team. It was like, what you're not going to play the key players, so what do we see tomorrow?
I want to see like a young wide receiver, like a Dadrian Zipper, yeah, you know, from Lakeland, Florida, redshirt freshman. He's someone that I remember, you know, coming up as a recruit, and I think he's going to be someone that can be a factor. There's been some reports about him potentially being an impact guy, and I bring him up first because I feel like spring games are the stage for that player.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Type of player, a redshirt freshman, for fans say, you know what, like, oh, that's exciting for ideally 2025, he takes on a spotlight role. Or, you know, if an injury or two happen in your wide receiver room, you as a fan can go back and say, oh, yeah, remember Zipper in the spring game? He was a stud. So I think someone like that is I'm very curious to see and see some playmaking. And then, of course, you got to point to the quarterback position.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
You know, Brandon Rose, Isaac Wilson to – you know, fans in the stands, see a game setting and see how these young quarterbacks respond, and Cam Rising on the sideline looking on. I think a lot of eyes will be, of course, on that quarterback spot.
You're not going to see a lot of key ones, and that's okay. You don't want to see them tomorrow. What you will go see is a very fascinating backup quarterback battle between Brandon Rose and Isaac Wilson. I'm really intrigued to see the reps that they show on that field tomorrow. That's going to be really fascinating to watch. And it'll give our own eyes a chance to see where that battle stands. Andy Ludwig was asked about that battle. First, he'll talk about Brandon Rose, who's coming back from last year's injury.
I'm fired up with the growth and maturity of Brandon Rose. You know, he had some opportunities last spring, and in fall camp, the injury set him back. He's made the absolute most of that time. He's come back a better player, more confident, more poised in the pocket, better system understanding. So I'm very pleased with his progress to date. There's still plenty of work to do through the course of the summer.
He may have a slight edge just because he's been there longer, has a better grasp of the offense, but Isaac Wilson, if he's behind, it's not by much. And Andy Ludwig also very impressed with the incoming freshman.
With Isaac Wilson, the skill set is definitely there, but you're talking about a young man that was a high school senior on Friday and then came in was a college freshman on Monday. So he's still learning a lot, but the arm talent, the athleticism, and the football savvy are there. He's just still learning the ins and outs of Utah offensive football.
And, of course, you can always count on the defense being great, and you're going to see great defense tomorrow. Morgan Scally's pumped up with his unit and really pleased with the defense and being more aggressive and getting turnovers in the spring.
No question. We had twice as many takeaways this spring as last spring, and that's not a knock on the offense. That's us being opportunistic and the focus on taking the ball away. So very pleased with how that went.
As you're putting together your Big 12 power poll,
yes,
Mitch, which I need to do as well, we had a way too early, and maybe it was a way, way, way too early. Now it's just way, way. But we're going to update it again soon. You're going to have an update soon on KSLSports.com.
Yes.
As you're hearing this and you see how Utah spring has progressed, you still have them at the top?
I do. I've got – it's a debate for me between Kansas and Utah right now.
Kansas.
I'm very high on Kansas, because I, you know, one thing, despite losing that offensive coordinator, Kyle Nicky, to Penn State, many of the assistants on that offensive staff remained, and it's almost like Jeff Grimes is a little bit of a placeholder where he just kind of joins the group and continues to add this toughness on the offensive line. And I love their backfield with Jalen Daniels and Devin Neal. I think it's one of the best quarterback running back tandems, and they bring a lot of starts back on the offensive line. Got a pretty decent schedule as well. They avoid Utah. I mean, it could be the Big 12 championship game. And I think, again, that's what's so weird about Big 12 football. Kansas, Utah for a conference title. What?
Yeah.
that's kind of where my head's at right now. And, you know, the cornerback transfers, who I know Morgan Scalley talked about, you know, Keenan Johnson from Georgia Tech, a senior, Cameron Calhoun, Michigan. Utah's got options, and Utah's defense, you just know what it's going to be. And I think that it's significant that Scalley's highlighting the opportunistic takeaways, because, you know, that is just the calling card of, they're going to not only get a takeaway, they're going to get points off takeaways. And, you know, and what a luxury when you're still working Cam Rising back when he fully gets ready in the fall, to know you could have maybe a defense that's opportunistic that can not only get a takeaway but generate points too, because you want to make things easy as possible for Cam Rising to avoid any potential injuries this fall.
Does anyone in the Big 12 right now have a defense as good or close to Utah?
I'd say no. My first feeling is no. I think the talent, I think Kansas State's going to be very solid defensively, because none of the losses they had in the transfer portal seemed like, oh, they were earth-shattering. It was more like mutual agreement type transfer portal losses. But no, I just think Utah, they have, I think, the best personnel, at least the best depth right now. I think there's some individual players in the Big 12 that are some real studs, especially on the defensive line. But I like Utah's overall personnel, their scheme, and I just think that staff with Kyle Whittingham and what he's always produced defensively, and they've recruited well. Utah has done a nice job of identifying needs in the portal and plugging those gaps, and those portal guys usually impact quick. So Utah will be very sound and near the top in the Big 12. And I'm bullish, too, on BYU's defense. I've said that they could be top four. I feel like they're, but that's a big gap between BYU and the potential and what you know with Utah and what they've been for two decades.
I think you look at the top of the Big 12, or what we think is going to be the top, and all of them have really good quarterbacks. Oklahoma State doesn't have the great quarterback, but they got the best running back in the country.
Yes.
Which I kind of feel makes up for that.
And Alan Bowman's continuity, like, he was a starter.
He's a veteran player, right? You can trust him at least.
Sure.
What's the difference between all those contenders? Who has the best defense? That's why I'm going Utah number one.
And head coaching. You know, Whittingham's top, whatever list you want to point to, he's at a minimum top 10. You can say probably top five.
He's top dog in this new Big 12. Ethan Millard with Teton Wealth will be live in studio with Hans and Scotty Monday to help you with your retirement plan. Tune in or visit retireteton.com. We have to take a break here on JJ and Alex. When we come back, Mitch Harper with the latest on the situation with BYU men's basketball. They are seeking a new head coach after Mark Pope leaves for Kentucky. We've got the latest details, his coaching big board. Who do we think is going to be the next head coach at BYU, and what players could be on the way out? We've got that next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
motorsportsland.com.